Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the the word we heard, and the recognition, the discernment of virtue, your virtue in human vessels, and being thankful to God, thankful to you for that. Because of the investment that has gone into the lives of people, and but also as it says in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6, as Apostle Paul said, that we might learn in us not to think of anybody above that which is written. And thank you that in Acts 10:34, Romans 2:11, God is no respecter of persons, and you esteem your word so highly that when you speak, when the word is spoken, and when your headship is communicated from the pulpit, there has to be absolute quietness and stillness in our hearts, because you are a Lord, you are a King, you have absolute authority over our lives. And teach us, God, what it means to really enter into true worship as we recognize your lordship in our personal lives, and to learn to walk in faith before you, receiving of you. Thank you that you develop a personal faith in us and you build us up through corporate faith. We thank you, we worship you, and even as a pastor speaks the word, we just pray that we would receive it in meekness, knowing that it's the word of God, and we would receive it as the word and not as the word of men, because we want your word to effectually work in us, God. There has to be fruit, even as we heard the message. Thank you, we praise you, and bless our time together now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Okay, may be seated. Greetings from Hyderabad once again. We had a conference for them for 2 days. The theme of the conference was, what was it? Putting on the whole armor of God. And everyone had to come with the one armor specifically on each, on one day for the service. So some of the ladies came with makeup and all these different kinds of things. It was a great time. You know, Suresh is pastoring a church in a place, and they are building a church building, meaning they're building on the terrace. They're doing that by faith. I thought maybe we, if someone is willing to give off his abundance, then we can help him with that church building. I asked him how much. He said, not much, Pastor, just a lakh here and there. I said, 1 lakh, that's it. We spend that on wraps. So Sudha is going to plant another church in November. And in another part of Hyderabad, which is between a university and Cyberabad, he has, if you go to his house, he has all the gadgets. He has a time machine that can cause you to go back into the Old Testament. His library is so big, I told him it's a time machine. In any character in the Bible you want, you sit in this chair and he can take you back into that age. That's how many books he has. I don't know how he's going to do it. Transporting his books itself is a problem. So pray for us here as we move. Next Thursday is our transition. We're moving this whole place into the new place. We're doing the ground floor. We're just putting cement for the time being so we can meet there on Sunday mornings for worship downstairs by faith. And then it'd be awesome. Isn't that good? It's amazing what's really happening. You know, Pastor Sam needs an associate pastor or someone to help him in Chennai. And Pastor John also needs a person to help him in that capacity, because there are 8 students come from the tribal places to Andhra in their church. and they need finances. They've taken steps of faith. It's amazing how they live. And I told him when he went after some time, when you know you are preoccupied with situations, I said, hey, there will come a time where even though you have problems here, where you will have people coming from east, west, north, and south. And he looked at me and he's kind of laughing and says, we'll see. And there it is. And it is such a crown of joy to have these people there that are learning the English language and learning the basics. In fact, one of the guys, as he was out soul winning, and he is, I think, a pastor's son, if I'm not mistaken, as the gospel was being preached, he got saved. Can you imagine that? I thought it was like stories after the other. It was awesome. So if you are fed up of living in Bangalore, you are caught up in personal crisis, relational crisis, fire crisis, financial crisis, go and live with the tribal people. They will teach you how soon life in Adam ends. It's amazing. So I have a message, a few minutes, 15 minutes, maybe 15. Father, bless. You know, thank you for what you're doing through these people, vessels prepared for the Master's use. We are thankful for every time we meet together. Heaven records it. The heart that came and the heart that received, according to 1 Thessalonians 2:12 and 13, what you imparted. Father, we pray, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We started a theme on the night, Sunday night in Hyderabad. It was a short message. But we said this, that God is interested in building in the midst of adversity. But it takes character on the part of an individual who knows God to be available to build in the midst of adversity. Let me say it again. Adversity is not something that a believer needs to shrink from. Adversity will determine the test of character of a person that has completely and totally yielded himself to God. The history of the Bible has revealed to us failure and weakness. Reveals to us disobedience, rebellion. It also reveals to us how God, through His redemptive design, has taken people who have been found in their condition of sin and restored them, and found in their condition of weakness and used them. To be found in sin by God is to have the privilege of being restored by Him. Remember what I said? To be found in sin by God is to have the privilege of being restored by Him. Every New Testament encounter with Jesus Christ, wherein which a sinner was brought to that place of tremendous humility from the viewpoint of the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, caused Jesus to have tremendous compassion to the point when they experienced amazing sense of compassion to the point of forgiveness and restoration. But then there were some tremendous, as Pastor Guru said, tremendous statements seemingly of faith mentioned, wherein which you could swear to God that these people would move mountains. And when Jesus Christ presented the possibility of what it would cost them, people started making excuses. Therefore, it takes character to build in adversity, not to be sustained. We say it again. God is not interested in sustaining me. God is interested in teaching me how to triumph. I am not looking for a way out. I am looking for a way in. God's people are not looking for a way out. God's people are looking for a way in. God is interested in a man who is willing to stand in the midst of adversity when everything else around him is falling apart. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1, it says, these are the ones who came to David at Ziklag while he was still restricted because of Saul. What is it? David was the anointed of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 50, he took down Goliath. A very interesting statement made in 1 Samuel 17, 50. When he took down Goliath, it was noticed that there was no sword in David's hand. How did he take him down? According to David, he didn't take him down. According to David, the Lord took him down. David just needed to be there to represent the Lord, because it was not about the strength of Goliath that was the issue in David's eyes. It was in the eyes of Israel, but it was the glory of God and the honor of God in David's eyes. When the believer recognizes that it is about the honor of God and the glory of God, he will not consider his weakness in relationship to the strength of the enemy. He said again, when the believer has a comprehension about the honor and the glory of God, it has nothing to do with the weakness of the believer in relationship to the strength of the enemy. It is about the honor and the glory of God. When you and I are removed from understanding the honor and the glory of God, we will be people that will automatically surrender this privilege of being there for God in that sense, and we will start beginning to look at each other and walk by sight. In the sight of Saul, David was but a youth. And he said to him in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath was a warrior from his youth. Statements that restrict, it says here, he was still restricted because of Saul. See, there is a kingdom that God wants to release through David. David has a kingdom spirit. David wants to reign. David wants to represent the Lord. Saul is not interested in these things. Saul is interested in protecting himself, in preserving himself. He is interested in his name, in his reputation. David is not interested. So God allows a situation to take place where Saul starts beginning to envy David to the point where David has to flee. It is David's exit from Saul's household that promotes David. The decision that David made to flee promoted him forever. I want you to understand this very carefully. I'll close and compare it with something that is important. In 2 Chronicles 17, in relationship to Jehoshaphat, there were four amazing revivals, even though there were eight great kings in the southern kingdom. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3, that God was with Jehoshaphat. God is with the man that is with him. It does not matter how restricted David is because of Saul, if the Lord is with David. Let me say it again. It does not matter how much Saul restricts David. It doesn't matter. It does not matter how restricted you and I can be in terms of the things that confront you and me as believers. But if the Lord is with us, if we are with Him in terms of abiding, then He is with those that are with Him. Are you with me today? Do not be preoccupied by those that are not with you, because they are nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ being with you. Persecution, rejection, abandonment, etc. are all allowed in our lives to get us out of the restrictions of the self-life that the self-life imposes upon us as believers, and get us into the place where God wants to enlarge our capacities for Him. I said to the boys, we had a small rap session before the Monday luncheon, and I said this. David knew how to love the men that God added to him. 1 Samuel chapter 22. They were discouraged, they were in debt, and they were distressed. But he knew how to love them. Because he loved them like no one else did, God opened up their capacities to receive and to serve. Love always opens up a capacity to receive. And then it opens up the capacity to serve. Otherwise, there will be restrictions that will be imposed upon us. You see, when there is a demand placed upon an individual without the willingness to love so as to create a capacity, the other person is not in a place where he can receive to the point where he can serve. This service is from the viewpoint of freedom, not from the viewpoint of bondage. In the past, there were people that asked some of our missionaries that were on the field, and some of them still continue to ask, depending upon where the missionaries are, did you go out by faith, or did this church send you out? Very interesting statement made. Missionary came and said to me, so-and-so called them up and said, did the ministry send you on the mission field, or did you go out of your own free will? I asked the person, what was your response? And the missionary never said that to me, never determined in his mind to answer that question. If I do not verbalize audibly against those things that are sent my way, I will allow myself to be restricted in the midst of adversity. David did not allow himself to be restricted by his brothers. He did not allow himself to be restricted by Saul. He did not allow himself to be restricted by Israel, the people in Israel. He did not allow himself to be restricted. Do you know why? David was conscious of the fact that God was with him. Now, when a person is conscious of the fact that God is with him and he has a recognition and an understanding of his divine presence, he will handle adversity in the light of the presence of in the light of God's presence with him. A person that does not have an assurance of the presence of God with him will enter into forms of compromise, negotiations, or will accept things that are less than the things that God would have for him, because he is absolutely certain he is lacking the consciousness of the presence of God in that person's life. Very interesting. So God allows transitions to come our way to test us to see whether we are going to believe that God is faithful to what God is true to true in relationship to what he says, and God is faithful in relationship to what he will do. So I'll close. What happens if you read 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and 2 Chronicles chapter 17 for your home assignment? You will begin to see some amazing things. In 1 Chronicles 12, when these men were added to David in verse 22, they became like an army of God. What? They became like him? Where did David find them? In Saul's house, no? Where did he find them? Huh? Do you know where you find disciples? In soul power relationships, no? Huh? Party spirits, conspiracies. You find disciples there. Very easy to make them. No, you find disciples when you get outside of a restricted place. A person that lives in the fear of evangelizing can never really have a discipling church. They may have numbers in their church, but they will not have disciples in their church because they have fear of evangelism. I want you to see this. I'm closing. Who are these men? It says one of them from the tribe of Issachar in verse 32 of 1 Chronicles 12 understood the times. They discerned the times they were living in. And what the nation of Israel should do. And it says in verse 38, they all came to David at Hebron with a perfect heart. What did David do with his men? He brought the Ark of Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and he established the kingdom there. What happened when the Ark in 2 Samuel chapter 5 was brought in and it rested in the house of Obed-Edom? The entire house of Obed-Edom was blessed for 3 months. See, whenever the presence of there's a visitation and an understanding of the presence of God, there's a visitation, there is a blessing that is associated as a result of it. When David perceived that the ark had come to Obed-Edom's house and Obed-Edom's house was blessed, he made preparations to bring the ark into Jerusalem. Now he followed a pattern that was given according to the Levitical order in chapter 3 and 4 of the book of Leviticus. Of the book of Numbers, rather. Of the book of Numbers. It should be on the shoulders of the Kohathites. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, God was with Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles 17, 6 to 9, Jehoshaphat made sure that the Levites would teach the nation of Israel, so he sent them across Israel to teach them the word of God. In 2 Chronicles 7, 10, because of that revival of removing idolatry, it was unique. The enemies became conscious of that revival and the enemies were subdued. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 12, he was able to fortify Judah in such a way that Judah was strengthened. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 14 to 19, we begin to see this expression, with him, next to him, with him, next to them. If you read those passages of scripture, you will recognize that they were valiant warriors armed with bow and shield, equipped for war. These are people that were added to David's life. It is in our adversities and our sense of restrictions where we find God's provisions in our life as believers. Do you understand that? It did not take Nehemiah resources to build the wall. It took adversity to build the wall. Say it again. Resources are aplenty in the lives of believers, but it takes adversity to have things done. When I ask people today in relationship to their calling, because we meet a lot of these people from poorer sections that want to serve God, there is always this tendency that financial resources are a prerequisite for missions. Now, I'm not saying that it is not. The call of God is a prerequisite for missions. Somehow we have believed the lie, and I keep telling these guys that is not true. Why would Jesus Christ then take a group of Galileans and tell them to turn the world upside down if financial resources was a prerequisite for missions? No. Complete and total dependence on the absolute Holy Spirit of God was the prerequisite. Did Pastor John know when he went to Hyderabad 6 years ago that one day after 6 years he will be housing 10 to 12 people, not knowing where the money to sustain them is going to come from? Did he know? No. And he said it to the church that I had told him that in years to come, this is what will basically happen to you. You will be a base for that entire place. And he laughed and he said, yeah, we'll see when that happens. And he said that to the church and it did happen. Why? I am the reincarnation of a prophet. People say, show me your tongue. Because if you have a black tongue, they say things come to pass. No. You don't say these things on the top of a head to make a guy feel good. The Spirit of God gives it to you. But it does not come on a platter. It comes through adversity. What is God doing? He is building character. Why is he building character? Because he wants to teach us how to build in what? Now I'll close. I'm closing for the 10th time. But this is a statement that we will expand upon. And this is it. Opposition is to be preferred above unbelief. Say that back to me. In opposition, our enemy is the devil. In unbelief, our enemy is God. So what is the devil's plan? To oppose the believer to the point where the believer will enter into what? Unbelief. So when a person enters into unbelief as a result of opposition, he will be in the place where he will be resisting God as a result of his unbelief. Once a person is in the place where he's resisting God as the result of his unbelief, he has no chance to overcome the opposition of the devil. It does not mean that he will live an immoral life. It does mean that he will step back and resign himself to being a vassal in the hands of the devil than being more than a conqueror in the quiver of God. And boy, oh boy, from time to time, adversity presents itself to us like a monster. And opposition comes against us, and we speak 10,000 words per second because we are now being hit in the unconscious and subconscious part of our being, and the objective part of our mind is not holding on to God, and we get the undefined part of our mind out there. And even though what we are saying cannot be denied, but what we are saying is not what God has for us. We start confessing the possibilities of what could be when God is basically telling us, instead of saying that, why don't you say an amen to what I said it's going to be like? The believer is not stepping back because the believer has learned how to stay his ground. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. The believer is not stepping back because the believer has learned how to stand. What? Huh? I'm not standing my ground because of advancement. I'm standing my ground because others will enter into their rest. And Jesus Christ came and he stood his ground and he finished the work on Calvary. He did it because we would enter into his rest. You understand that? So restrictions are necessary in order for us to sense God's presence with us. Opposition is necessary because character is produced in adversity. And we discern the devil's ploy to get us to give in to opposition through unbelief so that we would be resisted by God. But the Apostle Paul says we are not ignorant of his devices in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Is that clear? So Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for leading us and guiding us and taking us forward and help us to verbalize statements of faith. In Jeremiah 45:5, if anyone is thinking anything for himself or seeking, seek ye not. But seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We are beginning to see promotions and miracles in the lives of people by faith in our ministry. And we thank you for it. Pray for the conference to come, the logistics that are required, large number of people coming from the villages of Andhra and different people. We need, Lord, resources for them to have a good time here. We pray for Pastor Shibeli's health, those that are traveling with him. We pray for the administration, the office here, for each one that will be organizing, being there in the organizational aspect. Above all things, we pray that the word would have free course. Pray for the body of Christ to be mobilized so we would receive instruction very specifically for us for these times, as the sons of Issachar did. We pray, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. On Friday, the prayer meeting will be at Pastor Anil's house at 7 o'clock. On this Friday, the prayer meeting will be at Pastor Anil's house at 7 o'clock, Chelly Carey. If you meet him, if you are wanting to know the exact address, and we will be meeting there at 7 o'clock. And God's people said,
amen.
7 o'clock. No, amen. Okay, so you are dismissed.